The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate of the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the power of the Spirit this day into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him. And Simeon took him in his arms, and he blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign which will be contradicted, and you yourself, a sword shall pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. Coming forward at this time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child, spoke to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
To begin this reflection, let me first speak to those who are in Bible study, one or two words about this gospel. I know that many of you are studying and reflecting and praying over the Gospel of Luke. So let me frame in one or two thoughts here for your reflection in your Bible study. Clearly, the Gospel of Luke is the Gospel of Mary. Joseph gets very little attention in the Gospel of Luke. Matthew's Gospel gives Joseph much attention, but not the Gospel of Luke. There are only 4 times in the Gospel of Luke where the name Joseph is mentioned. In chapter 2, you have the census was called, and Joseph took Mary, his expectant wife, with him, his spouse with him, to Bethlehem. Joseph is mentioned there. When the shepherds come to pay their tribute and their prayer to the infant Jesus, it says they find Joseph and Mary and the child in swaddling clothes laid in a manger. He's mentioned there. He's mentioned one more time, not two times in chapter 2. He's mentioned in chapter 3 in the genealogy of Jesus. Now, interestingly, the Gentile Gospel of Luke traces the genealogy of Jesus from Joseph all the way back to Adam. The Jewish Gospel of Matthew traces genealogy from Abraham, not Adam, from Abraham, down to Joseph. It's a legal genealogy, and Joseph is mentioned there in chapter 3. And there's one more mention, very briefly, in chapter 4, where Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. And the people say, "Don't we know who he is? He's the son of Joseph." Now, outside of these four very incidental references, Joseph gets no attention in the Gospel of Luke. However, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she gets a lot of attention in the Gospel of Luke. You have the Annunciation only in Luke, the Visitation only in Luke, and this particular event of the circumcision of Jesus and the reference to Mary as a central figure in this event is very significant in the Gospel of Luke. Contrast, for instance, the difference between that first reading from the book of Sirach, speaking about the primacy of the Father, the essential patriarchal presence of the Father, not too much about the mother. Whereas Luke, the emphasis is not on the Father. In Luke's Gospel, the emphasis is on the mother. And in this narrative we have today of the circumcision, you have Simeon, this holy man. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen Christ the Lord. And now it says, led by the Spirit, he comes to the temple. And when the child Jesus is presented by the parents, he takes the child in his arms and he says, "Now, Master, you may dismiss your servant in peace, for I have seen the salvation," the moment of salvation, "a light for the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." He has seen the moment of fulfillment in his life, and his life is complete. And then it says, the parents were amazed at what was being said about their child. And then Simeon, it says, blessed the parents, and then he spoke to Mary. And he says, "This child is destined for the rise and the fall of many in Israel, a sign which will be contradicted, and your own soul, your own self, will be pierced by a sword." That's the prophetic statement of Simeon in the temple on the occasion of the circumcision of Jesus. So what does this mean? Her soul will be pierced by a sword. I was wondering for an image that might somehow begin to capture something of this prophetic utterance to the mother of Jesus. In 1498, Michelangelo was commissioned to do an image of the Pietà. It took him 2 years. 1499, he had finished what we know now as the Pietà. That is the image of the Blessed Mother holding the dead body of Jesus taken down from the cross and placed in her arms after the crucifixion. Pietà technically means pity, but it actually means compassion. It means to co-suffer. The Pietà is the image of the suffering of the mother in the life of the child. It was the only work that Michelangelo did that he ever signed. He signed, and if you look carefully and you see the Pietà, you will see his signature across the front of the garment of Mary. The only piece he ever signed. And it was carved from one piece, just one block of Carrara marble, a masterpiece. What's interesting about the Pietà is that the body of the Blessed Mother is larger than life size. The head of the Blessed Mother in the image is normal, but the body is larger than life size. And the reason for that was the soft Carrara marble with the outstretched hands of the Blessed Mother could not hold the body of Jesus in the image if it was normal life size. So he had to make the body of the Blessed Mother larger than life size in order to have the strength of the marble to hold the body of Jesus. However, later on, many people looking at this began to find a second teaching. And the teaching is the love of the Blessed Mother, the love of a mother, is larger than life size. This is true. The love of the mother for the child is larger than life size. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Jesus in his adulthood, no matter how old you are, to the mother, you're the child. And this is the image of the child coming back to the mother after the crucifixion. What does this image mean to us? Mary is the first preeminent disciple of the Lord. She is the image of the church, the Pietà, the compassion, the image of the Blessed Mother, an image of compassion. It's the image of the church. Compassion meaning to co-suffer. And therefore the church, after the image of the Blessed Mother, is called to belong to the suffering of humankind. Not sympathy, not to stand back in disconnection, and not empathy, but co-suffering, compassion. That's what it means. It means I take on your pain, I carry your pain. Your own soul, a sword shall pierce, is a prophetic statement for the mother of Jesus. It made me wonder, what pains do mothers carry? They have the ecstasy of the child born, many moments of great celebration, but then there are moments of suffering, of compassion, carrying another's pain. Well, I talked with a number of mothers about that. What are the pains that a mother carries? Imaged here by the Blessed Mother. The death of a child. The death of a child. It's a sword that pierces the soul of the mother. Ingratitude for the sacrifices and the gifts of a mother. I talked with a mother of a special needs child. And the privilege of mothering a special needs child, and yet the fear of the future. What will happen to my child when I am no longer here? There's a certain pain a mother carries in this anxiety. The pain of a mother when a family is divided, when there's hostility and division within a family. Pain of a mother who is somehow alone and forgotten, overlooked by her children. Perhaps in these days of virus, the pain of a mother who is confined in a convalescent home or in a hospital with the virus and cannot connect with her children, the pain of division and separation. Think about the pain of the mother. I have listened to a mother who carried great pain of guilt because she had an abortion. Subsequently, she had children, but she's carrying the guilt and the pain of this remembrance of her abortion, and there has to be compassion, not judgment, not dismissal, but compassion. The healing of a church imaged after the Pietà. This must be an image which appears many times in our lives. We don't have to search for it. This will come naturally into our lives. Where there is love, there is compassion. I like to remember C.S. Lewis and his Four Loves, a marvelous book. See, we've got the four loves, the four Greek words for love in English. We're not sure about exactly what love means. I love my country, I love my dog, I love my wife. We're struggling with a definition of the human experience of love. But in Greek, it's different. There are four words in Greek for love, and C.S. Lewis deals with these four words in this book on love. Here's what he says. To love at all is to be vulnerable in family, in marriage, in relationships. To love is to be vulnerable. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket of your selfishness. And in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from the danger of love is hell. And therefore, in all bonded, sacred, cherished relationships, the generous gift of love, of compassion, is the grace which is required. Forgiveness, patience, understanding, acceptance. It's the image of the Pietà. It's the image of the mother given to each and every one of us that at some time in your life, a sword will pierce your soul and you will be called after the image of the Mother of Jesus to walk in compassion, to carry the pain, carry the suffering, and pray for the healing of forgiveness, understanding, kindness. Pray for the grace which is to be found when we are vulnerable, when we love.